A young boy went to the local store with his mother. The shop owner, a kindly man, passed him a large jar of candy and invited him to help himself to a handful. Uncharacteristically, the boy held back. So the shop owner put his own hand into the jar, pulled out a handful of candy for him. When outside, the boy's mother asked why he had suddenly been so shy and wouldn't take a handful of candy when offered. With a slight grin, the boy replied, "Because his hand is much bigger than mine." That's good thinking. That's one smart little boy. And a great life lesson for us. Whenever you're getting a handful of something you want, let someone with big hands do the grabbing for you. Isaiah 40 lets us to know that the Lord, He measures the depths of the oceans and the expanse of the heavens with His hand. The Message says between His thumb and little finger, He holds the entire universe. God's hand is much bigger than yours. And He is a kindly God. How good then that picture, God's will for us, God's plan for us, to reach His hold, the oceans and the heavens and the universe-sized hands into the heavenly jar where He keeps all the blessing and scoop out for us what we could never grab hold of for ourselves. Don't you know that's true? Aren't you glad that's true today? He blesses us. He blesses us abundantly. He gives to us with full hands, and His hands are big. And maybe even the better news, no matter how much He has already, He wants to bless us still. Beyond praying and asking Him for His blessing, we've spent the last few weeks considering the things that we can do to make God's blessing happen in our lives. We can pray, we can ask, but we don't necessarily have to. We can do the things that Scripture commands, and the blessing will come. We can make the blessing happen. This morning, Psalm 119, we considered a couple of weeks ago in light of the Word. Can I remind you of that this morning? The Word will bring you blessing. We can make the blessing of God happen in our lives by making the Word a more prevalent part of our lives. It's not the message this morning, but can I take a minute and ask you, how's your Bible reading? How are you doing? I don't care where you're at in the plan. I don't care that you're a couple of days behind, but how are you doing spending time? There's blessing there in God's Word. Don't miss the blessing that comes the result of you making the Word more and more a priority in your life. This morning, still more from Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes, and here it is for us, and seek Him with all their heart. There's blessing for you when you seek Him. Don't you know that? Isn't there a blessing that comes from this? How many of us, we have our story, we didn't feel like going to church. We had a difficult week. We were tired. We were stressed out. We weren't sure we would be able to worship. We weren't sure we would get anything. We were hurting. We were sick. Bodies seemed to be breaking down and wearing down. And we thought it may be better if we stayed home, but we didn't. We came anyways. And if you have that story, my guess would be that you probably don't even remember one song that was sang. You probably don't even remember the message that was preached. What happened, though? You came to seek God, and there was a blessing that you experienced. You found joy that you didn't know was even available to you. You found strength you left better than when you came in, and you can't explain it, and you don't understand it, and you don't know why, because maybe even you're still sick, and there's still the pain in your body, but there was something, there was a re-energizing that happened in your heart and in your spirit, and now we discover exactly what that was. You came and you sought the Lord, and He blessed you. He blessed you with His strength. He blessed you with His joy. He blessed you with His presence. And you left with a newfound pep in your step. You didn't come in with that, but you left with it because of the blessing that came from seeking Him. There's blessing for us when we chase after God. When you make Him to be your heart's desire, your soul's desperate and diligent longing. Of all the things you could pursue in life, when you make Him to be the one pursuit, you make the blessing happen. Blessed are they who seek the Lord with all their heart. Let me share with you this morning just three things. The first, we're going to call it this, the command. The command to seek Him. Psalm 27, when you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." I'll do it. God speaks to all of us this morning, and He says to us, "Seek my face." My prayer is that by the time we're done, there will be a response within all of us, a stirring within our hearts. My heart responds to the command of the Lord, "Seek my face." My heart resounds, a resounding response that is, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Psalm 105, look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. To seek Him is to pursue Him. It's to chase after Him. It's to learn again to be discontent with sort of the status quo, with the average, even with mediocrity. It's to learn again a discontent on a scale of 1 to 10. Where are you with Jesus? Well, I'm not a 10, but I'm not a 0. I'm maybe somewhere in the middle, 5 or 6. Today's the day we say, that's not good enough. I'm not content with that anymore. I'm not just shrug my shoulders. Well, I'm not a 0. I'm a 5 or 6. No, we determine we're going to chase after God. We're going to pursue Him. We're going to be discontent with anything less than a relationship with Him. That's all He desires it to be. All that we could potentially possibly make it is to learn again to hunger and thirst for Him. For more of Him. Can I ask you, are you hungry for Him? Are you hungry this morning? Are you desperate for Him? Is there a little bit of sense where I'm so hungry, I'm not going to let anything get in the way of my pursuit of Him, my desire? It's to pursue a new level of relationship with Him, a new depth, a new richness in your walk with Him. Listen, I know you know the Lord. And I know you're in a good place with Jesus, but I'm telling you this morning, there's another level. There's a newfound depth. There's a newfound richness that awaits us all. Are you willing to chase after that? Are you willing to pursue that? To seek Him, it's to chase after Him, pursue Him. It's to cry with the psalmist, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for You, O God." To seek Him is to, with Paul, declare from Philippians, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain, that I might know Him." I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. I know Him. But I don't know Him enough. Is there that in you? I know I speak to some folks that have been saved a long time in relationship with Jesus for a good many years. I know that I speak to many that are rock solid in your walk with the Lord. I know that I speak to many. You have studied Scripture year after year after year after year. You have walked with Jesus through some difficult things, through some highs and some lows, year after year after year. You have been faithful and you have found Him to be faithful to you. I know I speak to some real saints in the room. But I want to ask you this morning, do you still say that? Do you still recognize that? Do you understand that? I know Him, but I want to know Him more. Is there still that echoing within your heart? Is there still that desperation and longing for Him? I've been with Him, but I've not been with Him enough. I've been with Him, but I want to be with Him more. The command is to seek Him. Let me add to it, it's still more. The command, it's to seek Him first. This is to seek Jesus above any and everything else. It's to seek Him first and foremost. In Matthew chapter 6, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek first. Are you seeking Him? That's a good question. We'll ask that question this morning. But you must understand, the real question, the scriptural question, are you seeking Him first? Is anything, is everything else in your life secondary, trivial, even unimportant in relation to your pursuit of Him? To seek Him first is, in fact, to seek Him exclusively. We don't add Jesus to the pursuits of our life. We make Him the one pursuit. He becomes the singular answer. Jesus becomes the singular answer to the question of our desire. Can I ask you, what if the invitation from the Lord today is to have and to experience more of Him at the cost of something in your life? To make room for more of Him, something's going to have to go. We're so busy. So many things that would distract us. Isn't that true, especially in our day? I believe it's more true than it's ever been before. So much competing for our time. So much competing for our attention. So difficult for us to settle our hearts and minds on the pursuit of Him. What if the word from the Lord today, you need to seek Him and it's going to cost you. Something's going to have to go to make room for Him. You need to seek Him. And to do that, you need to rearrange some priorities, making Him the greater one above all the rest. Are you in? Are you willing to seek Him first? In Matthew chapter 14, we read that Jesus dismissed the crowd. The author, Max Lucado, writes concerning these three words. This wasn't just any crowd that Jesus dismissed. This was a multitude with a mission. They'd followed Jesus around the sea. They'd heard Him teach. They'd seen Him heal. And they were ready to make Him king. No one would turn down an opportunity to minister to thousands of people, right? Jesus did. He dismissed the crowd. Why? Matthew lets us know. Jesus dismissed the crowd so that He could go up on the mountainside by Himself to pray. Jesus said no to the important in order to say yes to the vital. It wasn't a selfish decision. It was a deliberate choice to honor priorities. Lucado concludes, if Jesus thought it necessary to say no to the demands of the crowds in order to pray and seek the face of His Father, don't you think you and I should do the same? To seek Him first is to guard against the distractions, even the important distractions, so that we might take hold of the vital. It's to guard the margins of your life. It's to push other things out so as to leave room in your schedule to seek Him. Can I ask you this morning, are you doing that? Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him first? Still a bit more, to seek Him first. That's the command. And also included with it, to seek Him with all our hearts. It's what we read this morning from Psalm 119. Blessed are they who seek him with all their heart. In Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not harm you, give you hope in a future. You'll call upon me, come to pray to me, I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In Psalm 63, O God, how I search for you, how I thirst for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. How I long to find you, to seek him with our hearts is to seek him earnestly, with great passion, with great devotion, with great dedication. It's an intense, desperate longing. I must meet with God. Oh, how my soul longs for him. Isaiah 26, your name, even your memory, O God, is the desire and deep longing of our souls. In the night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. Seek him. Seek him first. Seek him with all your heart. And still a little bit more added to that. And seek him now. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. I want to be very careful. I don't mean to sound manipulative, but I trust that you would understand simply by virtue of the message. And granted, even us being in the middle of a series, we were probably going to get to hear at some point. It's a powerful principle, the blessing that comes from seeking the Lord. But I want you to understand, by virtue of it being the word that the Lord would have for us today, have us to consider today, there is something unique about this moment and the invitation to seek him. There's something unique about this moment that may not be here tomorrow, that may not be here next Tuesday, that may not be here next Sunday. Because next Sunday, we're going to find new blessing in something new that God reveals to us. And all of a sudden, the invitation that you're sensing from the Lord in this moment. Can I just say that to say this? Be careful how you respond to what you feel the Lord prompting you. You think, well, you know what? I'll deal with that tomorrow. But there's not an assurance that tomorrow there'll be the same urgency. There'll be the same sort of prompting from the Lord, the same intensity of that prompting. This morning, the Lord would be stirring within our hearts, seek me, seek my face. Don't miss that. Don't neglect that. Don't set that to the side. Seek him, all that he is and all that he would do. And all that's his character and all that is his power. Seek him. Seek his face. Seek his glory. Everything that is God. Everything that is his goodness. Everything that is his glory. Seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Seek him first and seek him now. Are you doing that? Isn't it true? All of us would understand this morning that there's room for improvement. We seek him. We can seek him more. We're seeking him, but we can seek him better. Number two, let's call this the obedience. How do we do this? How do we seek the Lord? Let me just give you again a few thoughts to seek the Lord and to obey the command. This is what it looks like in our life. We seek his presence. We spend time in his presence. There's a sense where this is, we make time for face time with God. God, here I am. I've come to talk to you. I've come to commune with you. I've come to learn of you. I've come so that you might speak to me and I might speak to you. This is expressed, it's fulfilled a desire to live in a greater reality of the Lord's presence in our life. How much of your day is lived in the realization of God's presence near you? I know days get very monotonous and very mundane, and our Monday tomorrow will look like every other Monday we've ever lived, and it'll be the same old, same old. But can I ask you this morning, where's that sense of awe and wonder? Wait a minute, as I go through my mundane and monotonous tomorrow, the Lord is with me. The Lord is near me. How much of your time is consumed by that reality? How much of your day is spent thinking of him? Even if not verbally, in your heart, in your mind, worshiping him, praying, pray continually. That's the command of Scripture. How well are you doing obeying that command to pray continually, because your mind is continually set on him and you're continually thinking of what you need him to do and how you want him to use you and how you want him to get glory from you. To seek his presence is to know that he's near, have a settled confidence of his nearness in the midst even of our difficulty. It's have a realization of his presence in the midst of the decisions that we would make, the problems that we would face. To seek his presence is to live in a closer relationship with him, a greater intimacy with him. It's to know him, to be with him, to experience him. In Exodus 33, we read of Moses. He goes into the tent of meeting, and as he does, the pillar of God's presence would descend on that place. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And when Moses would come out of that tent, the glory of the Lord would linger on him, and the people would know it. The people would see it. Moses had to veil himself because of the glory of the Lord that was sort of reflected still in his very own countenance. It's daily communion with the Lord like that. Can I ask you, is that what your devotion time looks like? Is that what your prayer time looks like? Is there that kind of daily encounter with God and with his glory so that when you walk from that place, people can see his presence in you and on you? They can know with certainty, wow, they've been with the Lord. Maybe even a tangible sense of his presence on us. To seek him, how do we live in obedience to that? We seek his presence. We live in his presence. We know better his presence. How about this? We seek his approval. That's to seek him. You seek him. You seek his approval in the things that you would do and how you would live your life. Think of my kids. Bella is all about the gymnastics, and so she's always trying to do something a little bit more and doing a somersault or working on the splits. And so this is what we hear all the time. Dad, watch. Dad, watch this. Watch this. And then she wants to show something. She wants to watch how I can do this somersault. Watch how I can do it with one hand. Watch how I can go to the floor all the way to the splits. Dad, watch this. Watch this. The kids come home with the test. Dad, look at this. Look at this. Look at what I did. Look at what I got. We want to live our lives pleasing the Lord, that the Lord would delight in us, that we're doing what he's called us to do, what he wants us to do, what he hopes for us to do, that we're doing like Jesus did and like Jesus would do. We want to live our lives conscious of the times that we fail him, in humility and repentance, coming to him when we know he's caught us doing something wrong, so we can turn from those things and step more and more into the things that would put a smile on his face. The dad, watch this kind of things. Can I ask you, what did you do this last week that was a dad, check this out, watch this? We get a little devotional, we put it out there in the fellowship hall. I think this is the one that's there right now. It's nice to prepare a fine meal for friends. We take time to bring forth food that's tasty, food we know they'll take pleasure in eating. We make sure everything is cooked to perfection, and then we set the table with nice dishes, maybe even flowers, to draw them into a pleasurable experience. What's this? Well, every day we are to serve our Lord and to bring before him our praise, our fellowship, our time. You could say that all day long we work at a great meal with which to set before him. However, at the close of the day, we may be surprised at what we actually put on that plate. Dear Lord, here it is, a whole day that I've prepared for you. As you look at my plate, you'll see that I'm serving you complaints, coupled with a helping of pity, a little ungratefulness, pride, jealousy, and to top it off, the gravy of discontent. Oh, there's a helping of praise in the corner, even a bit of kindness under that helping of pity, but overriding all else is that large helping of busyness. Lord, this is not what I wanted to bring to you. I realize how disgustingly distasteful it all is. May I add a dessert of remorse and repentance with the intent of presenting a better meal tomorrow. To seek him is to seek his approval. It's to put before him day in and day out a plate that he would take pleasure in. The writer concludes, "My child," says the Lord, "I accept your plate. You see how lacking and distasteful it is, but I know the one who brings it to me. I know the struggles of your day, the concerns of your heart. As I take your plate, you take from me my peace, my forgiveness, my promise to never leave you, even when all you can give me is your struggles. Tomorrow, let's walk together, and I will extend to you my help in preparing a finer meal to offer." To seek him, how do we do that? We seek his presence. We seek his approval. How about this? We seek his direction. Direction for how to live and how to respond. Direction for how to go the right way in life. How to live life rightly. Decisions that we know would be the right decisions. The decisions we know that would be the wrong, that we would avoid. It's to know his will. It's to know his way. It's to know what God says. It's to know what God wants. That's how we seek him. What God thinks about that. It's to know his word. And even more so, it's to do his word. It's direction for the problem situations in our lives. Here's the problem with many of us Christians. We go through all kinds of problems. The problem is we don't go to the one who could solve our problem. We're good at talking about our problems. We're good at trying to solve our problems. But the problem, we don't go to him. Where's the seeking him? To say, "Lord, show me how to navigate through this." In 2 Samuel 21, during the reign of David, there was a famine. So David sought the face of the Lord. And the Lord said, "It's on account of Saul and his bloodstained house. It's because he put the Gibeonites to death." After that, God answered prayer in behalf of the land. How about going to the Lord? "Lord, what in the world's going on? Why am I struggling in the work? Why am I struggling at home? Why am I struggling spiritually?" And let the Lord speak to you just like he did to David. Where's the seeking the Lord that we might have an answer for the problem that we're dealing with or going through? For the decisions that we would make in life, we seek the Lord. We invite him. To seek him is to invite him into the decision-making process of life. You come to the crossroads. I can go to the left, I can go to the right. Which way do I go? We think on it, we contemplate it, we dwell on it, we weigh our options, we get advice. "Hey, what do you think? Should I go this way? Should I go that way?" But listen, we need to seek the Lord. We ask of him, we listen for his instruction. This is the way, walk here. To seek the Lord is to follow his plans and purposes for our lives. It's to be where he is and follow his leading. It's to seek his direction. Finally, it's to seek his response. To seek the Lord is to seek help from the Lord. It's to seek his salvation and his deliverance. This sort of takes us back to last week. It's to take refuge in the Lord. It's to depend on him because we need him, trust in him. Because his character is flawless and his power is limitless. It's to put our confidence in him as we live in anticipation and expectation that he will act towards us in accordance with his character, in accordance with his power, and we will see the goodness of the Lord. We don't move without him. We need him. We need his help. We need his salvation. We need his deliverance. So then we seek him that he might respond to us in our time of need. The command, seek the Lord. The obedience, seek his presence, seek his approval, seek his direction, seek his response. Finally, this morning, it's the reward. Psalm 119, blessed are they who seek the Lord with all their heart. Psalm 9, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. In Psalm 27, there's safety in seeking him. In seeking the Lord, we find shelter. In Psalm 34, there's deliverance from all our fears. Seek the Lord, and the fear will go, and the peace will come. Psalm 80, restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we might be saved. In Psalm 34 and verse 10, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Let us be careful to tune in to God's word this morning. Many of us are good with that verse. Lions grow weak and hungry. Let us not forget, it's not just anybody. It's not even just Christians. It's not but those who believe in the Lord. You understand God's word this morning? But those who seek the Lord, they're the ones that lack no good thing. Well, Pastor, that's not me. I'm lacking a whole bunch. Well, maybe it's because you're not seeking the Lord. Because those who seek the Lord, the promise is for them. The word is for them, not just anybody, not just one who wants to be content with mediocrity. Well, I'm not a 10, but I'm not a 0, and I'm fine with my 5 or my 6. No, no, no. The one who seeks the Lord is the one who lacks no good thing. In Psalm 119, verse 58, I sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. There's grace. There's the realization, the fulfillment of God's promise in our life. If there's a promise of God that you're seeking to be fulfilled in your life, if there's a promise that you've received from the Lord, you sense the Lord has spoken something in your life that God's going to do or that God's going to bring about. Listen, this is going to sound counterintuitive, but forget the promise. Seek Him. According to Psalm 119, you seek Him, and it's kind of like the blessing. You seek Him, the blessing will take care of itself. You seek Him, and the promise will take care of itself. In 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. There's forgiveness, there's cleansing, there's redemption, there's restoration, there's healing that comes from seeking Him. In Lamentations 3, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. How about this is the reward, the blessing of seeking God. Proverbs 8, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Jeremiah 29, you will seek me, and you'll find me. When you seek me with all your heart. My illustration that I love is playing hide and go seek with a little kid. Play with the big kid and the goal becomes to hide from you forever. Let themselves never be found. But you know how it is. Play hide and go seek with a little kid. And they just can't help themselves. So they hide behind the curtain that clearly you see their outline. And being easy on them, you walk into the room. Oh, I wonder where so-and-so is. And then you start to hear the little chuckle behind the curtain. And the wiggling begins. And you watch this. If you do it for too long, if you don't find them pretty quick, you know how it happens. That curtain gets thrown back. Here I am! I'm over here! I think God plays hide-and-go-seek like a little kid. And when you say, I'm going to seek Him, I'm going to chase after Him, and you begin to pursue Him, God, I'm coming after You. God, I'm looking for You. God throws back the curtain and says, here I am. Here I am. I'm here. You can find me here. Here's me in the greater revelation of my glory. Here's me in the greater revelation of my power. Here I am. You can find me here. When you seek God, He lets you to find Him. When you seek His face, He turns His face to you. That's the blessing. Ultimately, that's the reward. Don't you want that today? Don't you want to find Him this morning? Jeremiah 29, the plans of the Lord are fulfilled for us when we seek Him. His plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future, are found when we seek Him. The freedom from captivity comes when we seek Him. The restoration, it comes by way of seeking Him. How about this? We not only find Him, we also end up finding everything else. Matthew 6, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and you know the rest. And all these things, listen, My brother, I'm telling you, some of you got it backwards. Listen to me, sister. You're chasing after the things, but you're doing it wrong. Because God says what you need to do is you seek after me, and the things will take care of themselves. You seek after me, and I'll take care of the things. You seek after me, and not only will you find me, but all the things will be given to you as well. Simply put, when we seek God, there's great reward. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There is great reward and there is great blessing. Blessed are they who seek the Lord with all their heart. Seek him. Now, today, with all your heart, first and foremost, above everything, above anything else, seek him. Seek his presence. Seek his approval. Seek his direction for your life, for your trouble. Don't trust in horses or chariots. Trust in him. Seek a response from him for your difficulty, for your trouble, for whatever problem you're facing. And in that, be blessed. What does that look like for you? I'm not sure this morning. Maybe for each of us it would be something different. Maybe more communion with him. Maybe more of his word, by which you can know him more and better. Psalm 119 really speaks of God's word. We seek him as we set our hearts to opening his word, to find him and to learn about him and to know him. Maybe it's a question related to your devotional time, your time spent in the word, your time spent seeking after him. Not checking the box, I did my Bible reading today. Not even running to the Word for what the Lord would say to me, but maybe even ultimately, first and foremost, above anything and everything else, run to the Word that I might know Him, that I might seek Him, that I might find Him. As I chase after Him, oh, I'll get the Word from Him. I'll hear what he has to say. I'll know how he's guiding me and what he wants to do and directing my life. I'll hear from him, but in the meantime, I run to the word so that I might know him. Maybe it's in response to prayer. Maybe you're sensing a prompting that your prayer time needs to change, needs to improve. That if seeking him relied solely on your prayer life, you couldn't say that you're seeking him. Today you feel the need, you feel the encouragement to change that. Maybe it's setting before him a better meal, a better plate than the one he's been getting from you lately. Maybe it's determining to do more to bring a smile to his face. Dad, watch this. Watch this. Watch me send this card to my brother to encourage him. Dad, watch this. Watch me slip my brother, my sister, a little lunch money, a little dinner money, a little, hey, be blessed money. Hey, Dad, watch this. Watch me bless them with a kind word. Dad, watch. Watch me as I serve the widowed, the orphaned, the poor. Dad, watch as I become your hands and your feet. Dad, watch as I live my life just like Jesus, doing just like he did and would do. I don't know how it necessarily looks for each of us, but this morning, may we all determine to seek him more, to seek him better. Without asking or praying for it, we'll make the blessing happen if we do that. Father, in this moment, would you just speak to our hearts of how we would seek after you? Father, we open our ears to what your Spirit would say to us. Lord, would you help us to do that, whatever you've laid on our heart? I know that in a moment like this, it sounds so wonderful. We're so confident in our need to do it, and in our ability to do it, and our determination to do it. But I know tomorrow life happens, and all of a sudden everything gets turned upside down. So, Lord, would you honor today the things that we've prayed, the things that we've considered, the very things your Spirit has prompted within us, and would you give us the strength tomorrow to follow through on those things? Help us to be a people. Help us to be a church. Help us to be men and women that seek after God with all our heart. I pray that in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Be blessed today, this week. Pray that you would be. I pray that you would do the things that would make it to be blessed. Seek the Lord this week. Be blessed in doing that. And this morning, I would declare his blessing over you. Would you extend your hands to receive today? May the Lord hold you and keep you. May the Lord give you comfort. Here it is. May the Lord shine his face on you and give to you his favor and give to you his peace. Amen. Amen.